The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 10 minutes past 10 o'clock. We have a couple of guests in the studio today. Our guests include Matt Hahn and Eldon Preston. They're with Thumbworks in Marlette. We're going to be talking about Thumb Boost. Their fall edition is coming up, and some of the other programs they offer to help people either find a new job or become entrepreneurs, whichever comes first. Thanks for being with us, gentlemen.
Thank you. Good morning.
Basically, we have Michigan Works. What is their basic mission? What is the goal of Thumbworks?
Well, the basic mission of Thumbworks is to help the community thrive, to help people with their employment needs, and to help the business community grow and thrive, because it is the business community that employs people. And so we do whatever we can to help people get connected to jobs and help companies find the talent they need, help companies to grow, and help new businesses get started.
And you're basically not a static entity. You kind of go with the flow. When we had displaced workers from the auto industry, you had a focus on that at the time and helping them find new training and new jobs and such. So you kind of go with what the area's needs are.
That's exactly right. We're very blessed to have a very creative, out-of-the-box thinker as a director. And as the needs change in the community, we change it up and we address the needs as they come, and we do our very best to really be on the cutting edge and to really bring things to the table that will really assist the community in good ways.
Craig, I'd like to give you an example, if I could, about how we really try and work with the local businesses to see what the demands and their needs are. We had a couple of manufacturers come to us in the last couple of months and express a need that as they're looking to hire people just in the manufacturing, and in particular in this case the machining industry, folks who are entry-level CNC machinists, machine operators.
CNC, for us who don't know alphabet.
Yeah, computer numerically controlled machines. Everything is pretty technical and sophisticated nowadays. Not just using your hands and hitting palm buttons. You're using your brain and you're interfacing with computers and all that good stuff. So
it isn't just sticking the metal in there, using your caliper, and away you go. The machine does a whole lot of it these days.
You're still using that caliper, but you need to know those precision measuring instruments. But yes, everything is moving towards the computer and the interface and the programming. So, but they came to us and said, we really need some help. Letting the folks that we want to hire understand what the expectations are, what the requirements are, because we've seen a lot of folks come through our doors that they've never even been in a manufacturing plant before. And, so these are people who are new to this type of work. And so they said, what can you do to help? And we actually talked to several of those companies. We got them in the room. We said, what do you need? We carved out that list, and we actually conducted our own machining, developed our own machining curriculum, and we use local instructors from the companies who are hiring folks, did all of the facilitating, they did all of the teaching. And it was a one-week class. They met every day, and it covered five or six different modules, and we had group folks from the Gemini Group, from Walboro. It was fantastic. And these are their future workers, and they're seeing that need that we've got to get out in front, and we have got to let them understand what our needs are. And it was fabulous. It was great. And again, when you have manufacturers teaching their current and future employees, it just doesn't get any better than that.
And that education, that little bit of experience, is what you need to get your foot in the door. Because I cannot see a manufacturer just saying, oh, you have no experience, here's a $500,000 machine, go for it.
That's
a big investment, and they have no idea what they're doing, and they can really make some cost damages rise quickly.
Absolutely.
Not to mention injuries and stuff from not knowing what they're doing.
Yep.
So this is what you try to do. You find the needs of the area and address them.
Yes, we really strive hard at listening and, boy, just kind of wrapping our services and abilities around, you know, how we can meet the needs of, in particular, you know, the businesses in the area.
Is part of what your training entails is getting unrealistic ideas out of people's heads about what the jobs will entail? You know, you're not going to start a job and have, you know, 15 personal days a year and all the time off you want and all this kind of stuff. These are things that people have to realize, that this is a factory, it runs, and it needs the whole factory running at the same time to keep things flowing. And if somebody isn't showing up, there's a big, you know, monkey wrench in the gear work.
And that's always a factor, is the realistic factor. And if it's, you know, going to work for a company or starting your own business, we always communicate those things to people, that they need to keep the real situation in mind, and you're absolutely right.
Okay, now if business out there has needs for training and such, should they contact ThumbWorks? And if you get enough people needing this type of training, you might be able to put something together for them?
And that's probably the critical piece, Craig, is that, you know, we need to make sure that there's enough demand really to justify, you know, the efforts and time that and sometimes investment that we would have to put into it, certainly. But absolutely, you can give us a call in Marlette. You can check us out on the web, thumbworks.org, too. And sure, we'd love to have that conversation with, you know, any business who, you know, has a particular need, whether it's, you know, workforce development or training or whatever it could may be.
Is there a lot more turnover in these manufacturing type of jobs these days than there was in the past? I mean, once you get in and you've got a better looking resume, you might get a job closer to where your family is, closer to home, so you're not driving across two counties to get to your job, because when jobs are tight, you go where the job is. Is there turnover in this, and there's usually more need than there is people?
You know, I think, you know, my observation, Craig, it's interesting that, yes, there is a lot of turnover, and in particular at those entry-level positions, but it's not so much based on ability. And you said earlier about expectations. That's a lot of it. And, you know, I think when jobs are plentiful, you know, there's, you know, you might hop across town to the company who's paying a dollar more an hour. You know, that's not so much the case right now. And, you know, as complex as the job market is becoming and the technical aspects of the jobs, of what the jobs entail, you know, a lot of what we're finding is it's really the basic things. It's, you know, are you going to show up for work every day and on time every day? And are you going to actually be able to perform the work that's assigned to you every day? And, you know, it really comes down, in a lot of cases, the turnover that we're seeing is just people, the work ethic is a really big factor in that turnover. And, you know, you'd be alarmed to know, and probably a lot of the listeners out there, that there are companies that we are serving in the Thumb area who are experiencing a 50 to 60% turnover rate in their entry-level positions.
And these are turnovers based on the fact that the company lets them go because they're not showing up, they're not doing all the things that are needed to keep a machine shop or factory moving along, and not necessarily the people finding better jobs and moving on themselves.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well.
Yeah. So here we are.
So,
Thumb Boost.
But then again, this is the types of things that we can get the word out on.
Absolutely.
That you have to have better expectations, that, you know, we get that here. You know, people say, oh, yeah, I know you're going to work holidays and stuff. It's the radio. It's 24/7. But when it starts coming to Christmas and you're going to have a four-hour shift, people are all of a sudden, well, I wanted to go home, for, you know, and so it's like, you know, this is the job.
And Craig, I think, you know, one of the things that we really focus on when we're, you know, counseling with prospective employees is that, The first thing you need to do is you need to get in the door. And then use your knowledge, skills, and abilities to advance in that company. You know, like you said earlier, there's nothing static about the job market anymore. And, you know, there are opportunities for people, but they're not just staying at an entry-level position anymore. And, you know, the first thing you got to do is you got to get in the door and then, boy, dazzle them with, you know, what you can do. And companies love to see that in employees.
Do you have to see that you will fit the job? There are people who can do repetitive work and they just mm-hmm. thrive on it. Here we mm-hmm. go, do this. Other people, they're bored, they want something to do, and they need a more challenging or at least a job that isn't the same thing every day. So do you have to, when you're seeking what type of position you want, do you have to look at yourself inside first to make sure you get a good fit?
Exactly. Fit is probably, a poor fit is one of the biggest causes of turnover. People that just take any job. I need a job, I'll just take any job.
Well, there's feeding your family and getting by until you find what you want, but if you're looking at a career,
right, what happens if people don't take the fit into consideration? And there's two things. People need to research the company they're looking at working for and also look at themselves to see if there's that match. They need to do that hard work up front, because what ends up happening, if they don't have that fit, that they may be there for a while, but they're going to leave. And they're going to end up with short periods of employment, and they're going to end up with a resume where I was here for 90 days, I was here for 2 months, I was here for 6 months. And eventually, the businesses, are when they go to get that next job, at some point, they're going to be, no, I'm not going to hire that person because I want them for long term. There's a problem here. And
they're not through the probationary period and they're gone.
Yeah. And so fit, I mean, yes, it's tempting just to take that first job that's out there. But if you haven't done that hard work to make sure, am I a good fit for this job? Research the company, think about myself, and make sure that I'm that fit. In the long run, it just doesn't work.
And how do you research a company? I mean, not all companies have all that much online or anything else that you can. Do you basically look at the type of job and then research that to see how it's done pretty standard? Or because it can be different in each company, the way they do sure. things, the way they, you know, they work with their employees.
Well, there's a lot of different ways. Most companies do have at least a basic website, and where they will outline, you know, what they do, who they're, what the products are, who their customers are, and then there's different tools, things like the O-Net or the Career InfoNet, which are available online, which people can bring in or put in a job classification, and it will give a very detailed description of everything that it involves to do that job on a daily basis, even give comparisons of median wages in that job for Michigan compared to the U.S., growth rates in Michigan compared to the U.S., So there, you know, there's online tools that they can find out a wealth of information about companies, and then, but they need to do the work and really think about the job and think about themselves, and be honest with themselves. You know, am I the right fit?
And I think too, Craig, that you know, one thing that that job seekers in particular, I think, you know, need to give a lot more attention to is just being a lot more proactive. There is nothing stopping any prospective job seeker who's looking for work and they find out a company's hiring, pick up that telephone, call that HR director and say, can I get a detailed job description? I want to make sure before I apply that I'm going to be a good fit for your company. And man, when an employer hears that, I mean, the light bulb goes on automatically. Hey, I think we got a keeper here. And so,
and they probably have that on file. They can email it to you, and there you go. And
in a
you've
lot of
already
cases,
then established an email back and forth
and relationship. Absolutely, and just people just don't think about, you know, doing those types of things. But you know, it makes a great impression, and that person usually who you end up talking to at that company, who's representing that company, their opinion usually carries a lot of weight, and they're usually very influential. Even if they don't make the decision or aren't involved in the hiring process, they probably have the ear of the person who does, because they're the first interaction, you know, when folks are looking for work.
And we talked about that email connection, and a lot of stuff is done today impersonally. is that where people many times fall short? They lack the FaceTime skills with somebody to just sit down with them, look them in the eye, and just carry on a conversation that's going to get you the job, as opposed to, yeah, your resume looks great, you really work well on that PowerPoint presentation, but, you know, a lot of it comes down to, does the guy like you?
Absolutely, and I think, you know, in this digital age that we are all a part of today, whether we like it or not, we lose sight of a lot of things that make an impact on people. And there's, you know, a warm smile when you walk in and you introduce yourself to whoever it is at that company where you want to apply to. Those types of things go a long way, and people just don't think about doing them anymore. They want to sit on their computer and they want to, you know, blast out 20 emails and attach their digital resume. But usually that's where it stops.
And no one's figured out yet how to do a warm handshake over the internet.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
Now, we've been talking a lot about other things than what you came here to talk about.
Yep.
Which is the fall edition of Thumb Boost. Can you give us a little background what Thumb Boost is all about?
Thumb Boost is really an event for entrepreneurs or inventors, anybody who really has an idea that they think could succeed in this marketplace of ours, and it's a place to come and get your 2 minutes of fame, and you are pitching in front of a panel of judges who are going to provide you with some vital feedback so that you have some information to look on as you move forward with your venture. And there's a panel of judges as well. And you know, if you are one of the two or three people who, in the eyes of the audience and the judges, are declared a winner that evening, then you move on to pitch in front of a group of investors, and in the hopes of securing some seed funding, you know, for your idea or your patent or whatever it is you're pitching. And these events were started by the Great Lakes Entrepreneurs Quest, the Mid-Michigan Innovation Center, and the Blue Water Angels. And they are conducted throughout the state. We just happen to be a partner with the Mid-Michigan Innovation Center up in Midland. And as part of that partnership, you know, we work with them, and we host a couple of these events every year. So this one is coming up actually next Thursday, November the 1st in Marlette.
And how are people judged to move on? I mean, is it basically the idea itself? Is it, you know, how well you've sold the idea? Is it, you know, whether this is not just slapping a clock onto an already made product, but something totally original? If it's something you can see a future in, you know, because this is something the investors are going to look at, or maybe all of the above, I don't know.
It's all of the above and more. The judges and the audience, they have a difficult task in deciding who the winner is. There's so many good entrants that come through every time we host this event, but it's all of those things. The key for the person that is pitching to remember who the audience is. The audience is to an investor. And so the ones that will usually move on are ones that make the gate. They have 2 minutes to make the case that my business concept, like you said, it's unique, that there's a good market for it, that there's good profitability and cash flow potential, and that it will be a good investment for your company. And this is, as an investor, you will make a good return on your investment. And also that it's a fairly safe investment. There's always risk in business, but it's mainly communicating this is going to be a good investment for you as an investor.
Do you need to research if anybody else has come up with this idea and patented it, and you're just, you know, kind of going down a dead-end road because it's somebody else's idea, and even if the guys buy it, they're going to have to pay the other guy because he patented it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as an entrepreneur, you know, there's a lot of things that you wear a lot of hats, but one of those, you certainly should seek, you know, legal expertise if you do not have the wherewithal to do patent lookups and patent searches, or trademarks, copyright infringements, all of those things. Intellectual property is something I think a lot of people, you know, don't initially take that into consideration, and then they get quite a ways down the road, and then, oh, I guess I better find out. Well, a lot of times what you find out is somebody else has already either patented that, or there's copyright infringements or trademark violation potentially, and you've already invested a lot of time, a lot of money in a lot of cases, and you know, do that stuff up front. And you know, the U.S.
It sounds like that would be a few choice words in your little 2 minutes to just say, I've had this, you know, researched by an attorney, and we don't find any patents similar to this. Then you move on, and at least you've gotten it out there, and you know, it's like, oh, okay, it is original. You've just kind of proven it.
Yep. And you know, certainly that, you know, as somebody sitting in there who may be a potential investor, you know, that would, you know, that would lend a lot of credibility to you as an entrepreneur, and that you understand the intellectual property. But there are a lot of folks who come and they've already have their product patented, or they have filed a provisional patent. And so, you know, definitely though, the intellectual property is something you need to look at on the front end. And you know, there's a lot of intellectual property attorneys, and you know, certainly the consultation, at least initially, most of them will be a free one. And you know, they have, you know, all the resources to do the patent searches and other intellectual property things that need to be done.
They already have the passwords to go in and check to see what's in there and what's not, and you know, all these things that you'd have to either sign up for or do all this other kind of stuff, and hope you found all of them that you needed. And these people know what they're doing.
And you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, as a citizen, you can go do your own patent searches. It's just very labor intensive, and what you pay for with the expertise of an attorney is they have the ability, obviously, to make sure that 99.9% chance, you know, they didn't miss anything. As an entrepreneur, if you do not have, you know, those skills, you know, it can be a pretty daunting task. But it's doable for, you know, people who are pretty computer savvy, and if you have the time and you can navigate around that U.S. Patent and Trademark website, you know, it's something that you can at least initially do it, and then take your results probably to an attorney and say, here's what I've come up with, but you know, I need to make sure. So,
and then you've already have that attorney. If somebody likes the idea, you've got somebody you can go to when it comes time to, you know, any paperwork that needs to be done to seal the deal and all this stuff, because you may have a great idea, but you're not an attorney and you don't have all that expertise and background that you know, smart people pay for, because they don't have it on their own.
Yep. And you know, and then the worst possible or the worst case scenario is to get to a point where you are ready to release something to in the public domain, and then you find out. And you know, to pay for that peace of mind to go to excuse me, an intellectual property attorney, the peace of mind is worth a lot.
I imagine the investors would probably look into that if you don't have it first, because they don't want to sink the money into it to ramp up for production or whatever, and then find out, oh yeah, Mattel had been making this for 40 years.
That will be one of the first things the investors disclose with you, I'm sure. Yes.
But then, you know, if you've got that taken care of by an attorney and you can show them the paperwork, then they've got the first steps they need done too.
Yep.
So it works well. What type of products come into this? I mean, do you think of entrepreneurship? Is it making Mama Routson's jelly, or is it? Are you looking more for actual gizmos and things that you build, or is it a little bit of everything?
Oh boy, it runs the gamut, Craig. We've got this time potentially an individual who's going to be pitching a homemade hot sauce that is has some unique characteristics.
Melts the glass it's in?
No, it's not heat hot, but a little spice, but different from a different culture. And so that's going to be pretty interesting. We've got an electric powered enclosed tricycle as an alternate form of transportation. But in the past too, we've had anything from, you know, a handcrafted cane that has a grabber on it. We've had winemakers pitch and actually move on to the next round. We have software programs that are developed, and introduce new applications. And so it really runs the gamut of possibilities, and and it should. That's our marketplace. It's pretty big. So
no themes, just have an idea.
Yes, sir. Have an idea, and have some passion, and believe in it. And obviously, do your homework. Find out if you think there's a potential market. How big do you think that potential market is? And what is your, what's your entree point into that market? So,
as I understand it, a handful of spots left?
We do. We've got 10 right now entrepreneurs who are registered and ready to go. We're opening it to 15, so we've got room for 5 more.
And how do they do this? Do they go online first for an application, find out the rules and all the stuff? Do they call the office? What would be the first step?
First step, because there's a little bit of pre-screening we do, and first step would be to just give our office a call, and that's 989-635-3561, extension 239, and you will get myself at that extension.
That's the Marlette office.
That's the Marlette office, yes, sir. And we have a registration application after we ask a few questions, and then we'll get you that registration form. You just complete it, fill it out, and we'll give you all the details then.
Now, most people who've done this, come up with this idea, haven't done the pitch part before. Do you give them an opportunity to practice? You've only got 2 minutes, and you don't want to spend the first 2 minutes, if you're doing a hot sauce, telling you about how this was Uncle Martin's favorite and he worked on it for years and fine-tuned it and he did all of this, blah, 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 meep, time's up.
Absolutely. We do have a workshop the day before on October 31st. It goes from 10 till noon, I believe. It's called Honing and Develop Your Investment Pitch. And there will be people there from the Mid-Michigan Innovation Center that will work specifically with people in crafting and developing their pitch for the Thumb Boost the following evening.
Is it really a sales job as far as what you're doing that day? I mean, does a good idea basically stand out on its own, or do you need to become the ShamWow guy?
It's definitely sales. You can have the best idea, you can have the best mousetrap, build a better mousetrap, whatever you want to call it, but you've got to be able to go out and sell it. And it's absolutely sales, and really being able to connect with the purpose and the audience that they're connecting with, and communicating that my business concept is a great one that is going to be profitable, and it will not only make you money as an investor, but it will then also make my financial future bright, and we can have a good future together. If you invest in me, we'll go far together.
And I think too, Craig, that what investors, the biggest thing in investors, obviously they want to see viability, and they want to see return on investment. But I'll tell you, and it's the same for job seekers, if you do not communicate the passion that you have for in the case of this boost competition, that you have for your product or your service or your idea, you probably are not gonna get very far, neither in our competition nor probably with your product or idea. And I don't know about you, but I've never bought a ShamWow, but I could listen to that guy talk probably all day. He's pretty interesting.
What type of entrepreneurs are you looking for? Are you just looking for idea guys, or are you looking for people who are going to run with the ball afterwards? Are your investors basically looking just to make the financial commitment and not really become the company per se, because they have to do all the work? They have to... There are people who just have the ideas, and then you get the Steve Jobs who run with it and yep, take it to the end. Are they looking for the people who are going to move on with it so that they don't have to do all the other extra work?
It could be that, but it could be the case. And I think a lot of it depends, Craig, on what stage you're at when you're making your pitch. Obviously, if you're in a position to take the lead on your product and getting it out to market, then it can be as simple as a financial transaction, if you will. But the investors bring with them also a wealth of expertise in a lot of different areas, marketing, operations, management. And so that expertise is also available as part of the package. But those are just things that would be negotiated with, you know, if you were chosen as one of the winners and the investors. They will structure those terms. But there are expertise is available. It does not have to be just a, you know, an investment and an arm's length relationship. It can be much more than that.
Because if there's a product with your name on it, you're going to want to be more associated
sure.
with it than
sure.
maybe yep. something else.
Yep.
Okay. What is the time frame towards, you know, moving on from this point? Is it, you know, we hear the overnight sensations that took 5 years to get there. You know, is this more of a longer process? We're not going to, you know, you're not going to be in Forbes next year, but you're going to start down the road maybe.
Yes, it is definitely going to be the beginning of a long process. Like Matt said, it does depend on what stage people are at. It could go from months to years as far as when the final business result, the final product is on the market. But again, it's on a case-by-case basis. It's definitely the beginning of a process. It's going to be a lot of work and a lot of time from that point, from the beginning point. But once they get started with the Blue Water Angels, like Matt said, they do provide a lot of support along the way. And anyone that started a business knows that it's one of the most difficult challenges that they're going to ever face, but it's also one of the most rewarding, and it has the most potential for future benefit and for financial gain. And so the reward definitely, it does outweigh the risk, and it does outweigh all of the additional work and effort that you have to put into it.
I imagine the product would also dictate how fast it needs to come to market. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk to computer programs, those would have to get there fast. There's a lot of programmers out there. The landscape of programming changes at the blink of an eye, so it seems like something like that would have to be a fast turnover type of thing, mm-hmm. whereas something such as Mama Routson's jelly, you know, could sit on the shelf for a year or two as it gets to fruition.
Yeah, true.
And you've done these for a couple of years?
We have. This is, I think, actually the fifth Boost event that we've hosted in Marlette. So
you have them spring and fall.
We started in the fall, and then we've been doing a spring and fall, and we're going to continue doing one event for sure every year. But we're talking with the Mid-Michigan Innovation Center and the Blue Water Angels, and we're thinking of maybe offering a different type of event. So we're kind of in the planning stages there, but we will be certainly conducting hosting one of these events, and it'll be in the fall every year. Yeah.
Okay. And again, if people want to take part in the fall edition, there's still time, there's still openings, and all they need to do is contact the Marlette office and get the ball rolling.
That is correct. Just give us a call. We'd love to talk to you and have you sign up and come pitch your product or service or your invention.
Is it a simple pitch, or do you need props? Do you need an actual working demo of it? Does that help, or is there no time to actually demonstrate it? You just need to talk.
Pretty much, you just need to talk. You can pitch with a partner, if you will, who, you know, could be demonstrating or holding something. If you have a prop, you definitely can bring it there, and we'll display it. If you want to put it up front with you, you can do that. But when that bell rings and they say go, you have 2 minutes. And no slides. They don't allow PowerPoints or anything like that. So it is really just you and the audience.
When your 2 minutes is done, your 2 minutes is done. Even mid-sentence, they will stop you mid-sentence and say, stop, now, you're done.
This sounds like school, like a test. Pencils down, folks.
Yep, exactly.
All right. So again, this is coming up November 1st. 4 till 7 p.m. Contact the office down in Marlette. They can get the ball rolling out of 5 spots left to go. You mentioned you have other things coming up. You've got some sort of ag expo seminar type of thing coming up next month?
We do, December the 5th.
December, yep. 2 months actually.
A couple months, now. Yeah. And it's really kind of an ag expo and trade show rolled into one. We're opening 10 spots for local agribusiness who want to come and share with the audience and some agribusinesses who are not from our region you know, tell them all about what you do and maybe what types of customers you're looking for, areas where, you know, there might be some opportunity for some new business. So we're going to do that on December the 5th. And certainly, again, if you're interested as an agribusiness in the Thumb area, which would include Huron, Tuscola, Sanilac, and Lapeer counties, you can call our Marlette office and we'll share lots of information with you and get you a table and a room and all that good stuff. So we did one similar with the manufacturers back in, I think it was in July, and it was a pretty good turnout for our first one. And you know, these matchmaking and networking events are just something that we're going to continue to work on and develop and offer as a business service going down the road.
And again, this is more of a talk type of thing rather than what people might think when they hear the word expo. It's not booths and stuff like that. So these are people letting others in the area know what they offer and what might be something you can use locally.
Yes, it is. And, you know, for agribusiness support groups, we will have space available that if you want to come and display some of your wares, literature, information, we'll have space available for you to come so that you can be a part of the program as well.
So there is some of that availability, but it's not in a great big venue that's going to house all these things.
That's correct.
Bringing tractors in, folks, and welders and all this good stuff.
That's correct.
And this is your second, and depending on... And it's not going to be the same as the first. I think we talked a little bit about this before the show, that you've got different people coming this time. So if you were at the first one, you're not going to hear the same thing over again. There's totally different people available, other businesses and people who may be able to help you out.
Yes, so we're going to just keep offering these networking and business development events, and you know, by sector. So we've did the manufacturing one, and we're going to do this agribusiness one, and we'll see in the future. Maybe there's some other sectors that we can take a look at and do the same thing for.
Well, there's all kinds of sectors out there, retail, health, all kinds of things out there you can work on. You also mentioned that you still have the virtual job fair out there that people get seen by a lot of people at one time when they're making their pitch for a job. How does that work, and how do people get involved in that?
Our virtual job fair program is something we've been doing for, you know, about a year and a half, Craig, and you know, it's a great program that utilizes technology and brings, you know, employers and job seekers together in a way that, you know, maximizes, you know, their efforts. We bring job seekers to a central location. Most cases it's at our Marlette facility. And we bring about 30 people in, and we interview them for about 4 to 5 minutes, and we stream their interview live to employers, businesses who are tuning in via their computers, remotely or smartphones, what have you. And again, it's a great way to get yourself in front of a host of employers all in, you know, one interview. And you could not repeat that. It'd take you a week or 2 weeks, you know, obviously, if you're driving around visiting employers. So again, you know, it's a great initial opportunity to get in front of a lot of employers, but that's just the beginning. It can't stop there. After that, then, you know, you still need to, that face time to me is still critical, but this is just a great opportunity that maximizes effort and efficiencies. So.
And that FaceTime is essential if your job is going to involve any type of, you know, person-to-person contact or such, because they want to know you can relate to people, that, you know, you
absolutely
don't just talk and don't know what to do. And, you know, they're looking for people who can handle more than just one thing at a time.
Absolutely. You know, and if you were to read the ShamWow guy's resume, you'd never know that there was a dynamic personality behind that resume. You need to see that. And, you know, I've said, you know, over and over again, the interview is not something that you can fake. You know, there's a lot of embellishments you can make on paper, but you can't fake that interview. And especially when you're in a production studio in front of lights and cameras, you can't fake that. And it's a real, real life look and opportunity for employers to get a, you know, a snapshot of this person. So. And there's really no substitute for the interview, and that's why it's the most critical part of the employment process.
And it comes down to all things being equal in a resume, they're going to go with the guy they liked.
They're going to go with the guy that
made the impression.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And that's just something that, you know, we do that every month. It's the last Tuesday. And again, if you would, are a job seeker who would like to sign up, just call our Marlette office. Same if you're an employer who would like to get connected. We've got about 240 employers right now who are on the distribution list. We usually have over 100 employers at some point, you know, from the time that broadcast goes live to the next 30 days, because we archive these interviews on our host channel. We have about 100 employers a month who are in there looking at these videos. So
Type of job? Are you looking more for full-time manufacturing type of jobs, full-time period jobs? I mean,
most of them are full-time, are folks who are looking for full-time work. We do specialize some of these virtual job fairs according to, again, job sector. We do manufacturing job fairs, we've done an agribusiness job fair, and we've done healthcare job fairs. But typically the monthly broadcasts, unless we are specializing by a sector, it's just open to any type of employment. And you know, it's a great tool.
And I'm sure you help the folks out before they get on camera so they're comfortable and do all that kind of stuff like you're doing to do for the Boost program.
Yeah, our case managers.
You know, stick them there with the deer in the headlight look going, I haven't ever done this before. And
Yes. And, you know, the case managers out in the county offices are available to work with the folks to get them prepped and ready. And, yep, absolutely.
And it all starts with a phone call to either the Bad Axe branch office or the main one down in Marlette.
Yes.
Get the balls rolling, and and if you're unemployed, it's a service that's out there that can help you hone your resume. It can help you get maybe find out skills that you never even realized you had into your resume. All of the things that can help you land a job that's going to fit and provide for you and your family.
Yes, sir. And you know, again, job seekers today, you need an edge, and this is certainly something that, you know, can help you. And, you know, certainly we have a lot of programs and services at the county level right here in Bad Axe that job seekers can go to and get a lot of help.
Thanks for being with us today.
All right. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
Our guests today on the program have been Matt Hahn and Eldon Preston from Thumbworks out of Marlette. We're talking about the Fall Thumb Boost coming up on November 1st. Still 5 slots available if you're interested and you've got a bang-up idea for a new invention or product. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.
The Pulse of Today.